are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations to transform your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we combine my years of psychological training with her years of leadership and business experience to add value to your day. We are super excited to hop into part two of our family series. And this is going to be a whole series on different types of family dynamics and family relationships. And today's conversation is going to center around the Disney movie Encanto. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend that you check it out. And really, the title is We Don't Talk About Bruno, but we're talking about Bruno today. And we're going to talk about all the different things that we got from the movie. And so you said within the first 10 minutes, you were impressed, like you knew why I recommended it. And so within the first 10 minutes of the movie, what were you feeling? What were you kind of getting from it?
Well, when I was on the phone with Patrice and she said, you've got to see it. And I thought, oh, please. And so I opened it up and within 10 minutes, I saw the family dynamics. I saw this is deep. Now, one of the things I actually love about Disney typically is they're layered. Their shows are layered and stuff like that. So even though the children will enjoy all the activity and all the wonderfulness, if an adult is watching it or a teenager or whatever, they'll see different things. So within the first 10 minutes, I was captivated. And I text her. That's how captivated I was. I paused it and text her. Notice I said pause. I paused it and text her and said, oh, now I know why you wanted me to watch it. Because there's so many family dynamics in it. And all of us have dynamics in our family. Every family is intrinsically different. And that's not bad. That just lets you know that your fingerprint in your family is very different than other people's fingerprints and theirs.
And so what I got from that first 10 minutes was that Maribel, she didn't really have a place in her family. And she didn't even want to say, because everybody was like, what's your gift? What's your gift? They start out with that opening scene where she's talking about everyone in the family and how awesome they are. And this is right before Camillo is about to get, I believe that's the name, right before he's about to get his gift. And really being able to step back and take a look at things. And at this point, I didn't realize that there was some generational trauma. Mm. That I didn't know why Abuela was acting the way that she was, but I just saw that, oh my gosh, there are all these different roles within this family.
And the thing that Patrice alluded to and I saw was that not just was she going around and trying to fit in, she was trying to accommodate and be of use, because she thought, because she didn't have a gift, and I'm putting quotes around that, have a gift, that she needed to perform. She needed to be industrious. She needed to be productive, you know, so she was always busy helping everybody and all of that. And that was a real critical piece for me. And then I love the song about Bruno, right? It's funny, in our families, we have dynamics of people in our family that some people, it's like, shh, don't talk about them, or shh, don't talk about that. And it's what we call it in some families is what happens in the family stays in the family, and you don't discuss it outside the family. However, inside the family, there's dynamics, because everybody or most know what happened or have their perspective on what happens. However, the perspective that's seen is not always the truth.
I love that, because somebody recently asked me, how do you heal generational trauma? Because I did a post talking about how important it is to sometimes to get to a point where you might be able to cry. And the person commented that really within their family, like they were still entrenched in that you don't show emotion. you keep that in and you don't show vulnerability. And I just gently said, if you stay in that space, that generational growth that comes in doing something different, that we have to let go of the things that aren't serving us. Now, do I want to break down in Target? No. I'm not saying, you know, go have emotional breakdowns, because I did. I had one. That's when a friend of mine was like, girl, you need therapy, because every time we met and we went out to eat and we're out at this public restaurant and I'm sitting here bawling and she's looking at me like, you should talk to someone. And so being able to do something different. And I think that's what the movie shows too, that Maribel and Bruno, to me, they were the two that were the change makers within the family. But often the people that point out issues in the family, if the family isn't open to it, and a lot of times families don't want to change, like often that can be a difficult thing to do, that change maker can sometimes be the one that gets ostracized and cut off, and they become like Bruno, where they're disconnected. And I thought it was so cool that he still desperately wanted to be a part, but he thought that he was somehow hurting the family, when actually he was just telling them the truth.
And that's the key. I saw that on a TikTok. The guy said, really, what Bruno, it wasn't about him seeing the future or seeing what he saw. What it was is he told the truth. When a person asked him a question about what he saw, he told them the truth. Now, this is the dynamics. Sometimes in families, and even personally, can we talk about personally? Because we're in a family, right? So personally, we'll put Band-Aids, or we'll try to ignore things. And you should not ignore something that is not serving you.
I've mentioned it multiple times on TikTok. I don't think I've mentioned it on the podcast, but I've been surprised in our weekly family meetings how many people have talked about the fact that they've done their own therapy. And at the time they went to therapy, the family really didn't know. Nobody knew that anything was going on with them. And just how many people have said, oh, I went to therapy for anxiety. I went to therapy for anger. I went to therapy for this and that. And how different people are sharing the things that they've learned and what they've gained from doing their own personal work.
Right. And I was talking to someone this morning, and what they said is there's some people that are saying that every 10 years, we're in the middle of transition. So look at those 10-year points, like at 30, at 40, at 50, all of those transitional points, something is happening in our lives. So the thing about the therapy is about getting help from outside ourselves to help us as a guide. When I say help, I'm saying guide us through the process of whatever healing is, you know. And healing is different for everybody. And this is what I love about what you just said about the family. Nobody discussed, well, at least most of us did not discuss it in advance, like, hey, I'm going to go get therapy. But let me tell you how important it is when you look at therapy. Therapy, we will take our vehicles. We'll do maintenance on our house. However, our emotional and mental well-being impacts every area of your life, financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, your job, your fam, every area of your life when you tap into those areas. So, and getting help just means getting support, getting support.
And because I think you don't know what you don't know.
Oh, that's
and
good.
When I went to, even as a therapist, I still need my own therapy because I can't see certain parts. And if my husband tells me, if my mom tells me, it's not going to be the same as the stranger. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Like, oh, wow. Okay. Maybe I do need to do something different. Okay. And they can, and they're equipped with the tools to help. And if I'm going to therapy, and it's not working. I've talked with the person and things just aren't getting better. It's not that there's something wrong with therapy. You might just have the wrong person. Because I think finding, connecting with the right person is extremely important. But I wanted to go back to a piece of what you were talking about with being able to see and address those issues, because nobody knew that Bruno was behind the scenes trying to cover the cracks. And I think that's what we do in families a lot of times. We're like, oh, you know, we try to just patch things up when really we need to kind of break it down and rebuild it.
And I love the fact that that actually happened in the show, is that literally it crumbled. The thing that most of us are the most afraid of, if we don't get assistance, if we don't address it, it will happen. It will happen in our lives. Because when it crumbled, it took the community outside. Hear what Patrice said, outsiders, but people that cared to come in and support and rebuild. And so the other thing that I like is that sometimes, and when I found out Bruno was fixing, now listen, he's working all the time that people are saying, don't talk about Bruno. Bruno is the one who's helping the very structure of the family stay together. He was the one that was patching. He was the one that was doing this. He's the one who got rid of all the symbolism that would identify the issue that was coming. It's just so many ebbs and flows in the movie. But this is what I'll say, is that so many times movies can so relate and you can connect them to our lives. So there's a couple things for me, is that everybody got their gift when they were 5. Okay, I mentioned it last time. 5 is a number of grace. So when your children are young, don't ignore who they are and embrace what they love. I mean, who they are. Sometimes we have a tendency of saying what a person is not instead of who they are. So that is the beginning of the mindset, and releasing our gifts to others is at a very young age. And it's not just identifying it, it's letting them be naturally them and enjoy that space. The second thing I'll say is this. Everybody that comes, every child, every person is different. Don't discount who you are to elevate who somebody else is or what we perceive as their gift or talent because they're at a different place in their life. Because regardless of where you are, you get a chance, you have, it takes strength to be in that place. And then the last thing I'm going to say as a tip is this, is it just use this as an example. As we go around life every day, we come home and I hope at some point we shower, bath, you know, and rinse off. We change our clothes, all of those things. So in our mind, there's so much that's being put on us every day. There's so much that we're going through and experiencing in our life, our work, whatever. Taking the time to meditate, taking the time to do self-care is critical for our mental and emotional health. Patrice?
And I wanted to piggyback on the fact that letting kids be, because often we focus on what they do. And so it's like, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we're focusing on careers. So we're focusing on grades and we're not focusing on just letting them play, letting them be a kid, letting them explore and grow, because kids learn from playing. We learn from making mistakes. And so normalizing that, hey, it's okay to make mistakes. The movie did kind of fix everything magically, and where everything just kind of within the last 10 minutes of the movie seemed really rushed. And that was very emotional. Yeah. The last part of the movie. And And really, it was once Abuela told her truth, and she was able to see that it was that she was contributing to the family. But please know, there are people that will not do that. For whatever reason, there are people that will not acknowledge. It is easier to blame Bruno. It's easier to blame Maribel than for me to acknowledge this is what I've done. Because a lot of times I will get comments from people saying, my parent won't acknowledge that there were some negative things that happened growing up. My family doesn't see. And I want to validate your perspective. I want to validate what you went through. And then we sometimes have to accept. Acceptance is not approval, but sometimes I have to accept they will never see it that way. And my family may never be the family I was born into or the family that I have. They may never be able to be an emotionally and physically safe place for me. And if I can't have that, then I have to find that within other communities. And so within the friends that I choose, because sometimes we will accidentally repeat some of the chaotic and dysfunctional patterns within our family, within our friendships, and within other spaces. And so as we were talking, I saw a comment on TikTok where somebody needed to isolate for a period of time and really got a lot of judgment, got a lot of flack for that. Because there are a lot of people that are like, you won't talk to your mom. You know, I can't believe you won't. How are you not talking to your parent? And that is an extremely individual thing. So I work with people that are like, there are people in their life that they will never talk to. And they're okay with thinking, okay, if something happens to this person and you're never able to have a final conversation, are you okay with that? And they say, yes, I'm completely okay with that. Okay. And then there are other people that they say, okay, I can't be around my family all the time. And when I go to visit, I need to have my own place to stay. I need to have an exit plan. Some people, I've listened to some different creators talk on similar topics, and they talk about how important it is when you're at the family gathering, if the family is a little dysfunctional, that sometimes having a role, being the person that's cleaning up or setting up the dining room, or because that will give you where you're not sitting on the couch and having this, you know, dysfunctional conversation with Uncle so-and-so, that you're able to kind of take that break.
You know, the funny thing is that statement you just made about the person going around and cleaning up and doing what, that you'll see that when you see Maribel. You'll see the fact that she was the one who came in and she was the one who's cleaning up. She was doing all these things because she was in a space and she did not feel like she fit. So this is based on what Patrice just said. What I'm hearing is this, is make sure that you maintain your place of power and control where you're in a space where you feel, am I comfortable?
And I want to go further, because often we will say, they made me mad. Every time I'm around them, they bring out this part of me. Or every time I'm around them, I slip back with my sobriety. And sometimes we end up giving them power that they don't have. Or I give them the power. So I recently did a TikTok on forgiveness, mm-hmm. Because another creator tagged me in a video, and they know that forgiveness is my jam, because forgiveness is me just saying, I don't need them to acknowledge it to heal.
Say that again.
I don't need them to acknowledge it for me to be able to heal, because then that places my healing in their hands, which is because sometimes within a dysfunctional family, unfortunately, you having an issue or you struggling, sometimes that gives the family like, oh, they're the problem. Oh, nobody sees the person over here poking the bear. They just see you go off. And then everybody's like, oh, you know, what's wrong with you? And they didn't see all the things, all the little times that people were pressing those buttons. And so that's where I own my response. Now, of course, that's going to be upsetting, but I don't give them that power. So I can't make people change their behavior.
Right.
people are going to do what people are going to do. And so if I set a boundary with that parent and I say, hey, mom, if you keep, you know, hey, mom, I know we talked about the yelling and it seems like you're upset. So maybe we should talk later. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. I love you. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Click. And then block the number. Turn your ringer off, turn off your phone, do whatever you have to do. Now, I will say that it is harder for people that aren't in a space to financially leave their family. Mm-hmm. If you are within the home, that does make it a little bit more complicated. And that's where with the clients that I've worked with, we've tried to get them financially stable so that they could eventually get their own place. But that's where I say, hey, you're only going to get so much better within this toxic environment. So maybe, but we have to create safety. So maybe your place of employment or your room, or we are able to find some safe spaces, or, you know, leaving to go to the grocery store, but you stay out, you walk around a little bit longer than you normally would. And so always having some type of exit plan, but I do acknowledge that people can't always leave the situation that they're in.
Right. But the choices, however, the choices that you make while you're in the situation matter. For an example, the choice of me knowing that what I'm going through is not normal, that it may be abnormal, right? The fact of I know the way I desire to respond, or I don't allow people to press my buttons, does not mean that the buttons are not there. It just means that I have a force field over the buttons. And so when people build a force field over where people used to touch something and person would scream or something, then they touch it one day and they don't make any movement. They're like, whoa, I thought I pressed there and she's supposed to jump, you know? Now she's not jumping. So they want to press somewhere else. The key to it is she has control of what's the reaction is. Now, I am in control of the action that I do. She's in control of her reaction to it. So that is the key. The key is you, to the best of your ability in the moment, make the best response to react to whatever's happening at that moment.
And some people will feel like a boundary is an ultimatum. Mm. So saying, hey, if you cross here, then I'm going to hang up. If you cross here, then I'm going to go. And to me, the difference with an ultimatum is that if I'm like, if you don't give me $100, then I'm not going to come or something. That's different than a boundary. Because for me, boundaries are about my safety. My physical, my emotional, but it is on me to reinforce it. So if I put up a fence and it has a door, because boundaries should be flexible, and people just keep walking. So just putting up the fence isn't enough. I also, if somebody comes in and doesn't respect that boundary, I have to say, okay, hey, you need to go. And there will be some people that will not respect your boundaries, and you'll have to make decisions about how often are you around these people? How can you have some type of control within the situation? What's your exit plan? Right. How do you, so let's say I don't have a car, but I'm going to save up enough to be able, if I do have to Uber home, or I'm just going to find a way to create safety for myself. Even if that means I'm going to go for a walk around the neighborhood, take the dog out for a walk or something, like find a way to have some safety.
And it's important. It's important because our mindset and what we take on, whether it be stress, especially stress is very detrimental to us. In every aspect, our physical body, as well as our mental and emotional responses, well-being. Let's go there, well-being. However, us taking control to the best of our ability, as Patrice has alluded to, in the moment will help us keep control when we're in other environments, when people are doing things, or we have a boundary established somewhere else. Remember, a boundary is not to limit. Patrice talked about that. A boundary is not to limit you. A boundary is established because that is a perimeter of protection. Now, with you as a boundary, let's say at one point in your life, this is your boundary and it was very tight for whatever reason. Then later on in life, or you met someone and then you can open up and be more open. You can open up your boundary with them, or you can give them more flexibility. Then as you move forward, you'll know. It's a gut instinct. You know when to bring your boundary in. So this is what I'll say. Value yourself. And that's what happened in the movie. It ended up that even though she was questioning her ability, her capacity, she was fighting for her family. It wasn't that she was doing it for her. She was doing it because she thought she was the problem. And it turns out that her and Bruno were the solution. And when she went back to the one space where Bruno was, he had it set up. It was hilarious. And it's so interesting because the last child, the 5-year-old that got, what was his name? He got his gift, right? He could talk to animals. That's part of it. He could talk to animals. So the animals were in Bruno's space, right? So the animals went back and told the 5-year-old what was going on. So he came in, he found them, showed them where he was, where they were. So he found them and he came to help. So it is so many ebbs and flows, but this is what I'll say about it. The more healed you are in the family, the more you know what your norm is and you step into your truth, the more other people will see what you're doing. And some people will be drawn towards you, and then some people will repel from you.
And it's not that you did anything wrong.
No.
It's that sometimes your healing triggers their pain.
And it's not that you're causing the pain. It's something they have to deal with. It's not your responsibility. Go ahead.
You kind of glossed over, but I want to go back, because sometimes the family, the Maribel family, the Marigold family, what they were doing, this was their normal. It was normal to them for people to be used for their gift. Like, that was the family dynamic since they came, since they immigrated to their casita, and they were used to this. And so when somebody comes in and says, hey, this isn't okay, this is a little toxic, like this is problematic, that person can be ostracized, attacked. Like, so I don't want to gloss over that, because that healing can be really painful.
Right.
Let's talk about Surface Pressure. So that was my favorite song in the entire thing, because Louisa, that she was just doing. And she actually says in her song, if I can't help, if I'm not giving, what is my worth? Mm-hmm. What am I worth? And she really epitomized likely how other family members felt. Like, if I don't have this gift, what can I do? And I loved at the end when she's, you know, somebody pushes her in the hammock and she gets to kick her feet up and just relax and be. And still, like, still just as strong, is still, you know, still is who she is, and she gets to have rest.
Right. And the thing about Louisa for me is that not just Louisa, all of them, the moment they got their gift, then what happened is how can the gift benefit the family? Hear me again. Soon as they got the gift, at 5 years old, soon as they got the gift, it then was, okay, how does this tie in to benefit the family? Because we need your, and everybody stayed in the same house. Everybody, they brought their families, their kids, everybody stayed in the same house. So it was, how can you benefit this and maintain what we have? Because if you don't, then it will crump, you know, it's going to go away. And then going back to Louisa, it's funny that how we identify, whether it be from you're identifying with the strength that you have at your job and you're retiring, or you're at that midlife place, right? She was the first one that actually, from my recollection, she was the first one
to lose her power.
And she felt it going away, and And she immediately was like, she was just totally, I don't want to call it spastic.
Well, but she just, went and isolated herself. Yeah. She left and just...
She didn't know who she was, what her good, you know, what her value was, because everything was identified based on her gift, not based on who she was. And that's the beauty of the story, is you're more than what you do. You're more than your gift. You're more, listen to me. You are more than your beauty. You are more than your intelligence. You are more than just your family, your religion, your whatever. You are more than that. So don't take one thing and put it on a shelf and say, this is what I am. Just be careful of that. Because if or when something happens to that one thing, then it will impact adversely everything. So just consider that as you move forward.
And that's where I really like to talk about the fact that people have worth and value just because they are. The people in my life, if for some reason they couldn't do the things that they normally do, they still have worth and value. And I think that's an important thing, especially because I think we often get our value from being a parent, being a partner, being working, being, you know, the degrees, the titles. We often, those things can fill us up. And I just think there has to be something filling you up from the inside that doesn't come from any of those external places.
Yeah. And I think that's powerful, Patrice. I think that is the key of all of this. That is the key to life, is to your will. And when I say will, I'm saying spewing up. If you think of a well spewing up with life, come from the inside. And so your power is internal. So your provision for you, your health, your happiness is internal. So keep that in mind as you move forward, because this is a critical time. There's a lot that we've been through. We're not ignoring the fact that we're, you know, wherever we are with this, you know, pandemic and everything that's happened has happened. And think about the quiet moments. Think about the things that triggered you. Think about all of those things. And if you need help, get help. You're worth it. You're worth it. And I am better because I went out and got help. I am better. I'm stronger. It cut off some of the things I was thinking, because sometimes we can be our own enemy, the enemy in me, you know, the person, you know, that sometimes thinks negativity or negative or whatever. And so I have to talk back to what's not true. I can't just let it, you know, circle around in my head. I can't let it stay inside. I have to put it outside the fence. It needs to stay outside the boundary. So that is what I would give you a tip on, is to embrace yourself. To embrace yourself.
I love that. And I think my final thought is to make sure that no matter what anyone else says, because often it is normal for me to want validation from my family, for me to want to do these things. Sometimes it can be a bit of a trauma response where I am overly concerned about how I'm being perceived by others. And I'm overly concerned with pleasing and doing for others. And it's at the detriment of me, that these things are hurting me and I'm secretly struggling and nobody else knows. And so I really think that we should give from our abundance, that within these systems, that we don't, sometimes people don't know how strong they really are until you set some of these boundaries with people. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit about co-parenting, particularly co-parenting with somebody that might be a little difficult, and how to manage that. My mom raised me as a single parent, and I think we'll have a lot of great things to talk about with that part of the conversation. And so I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.